This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Friday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, we had football last night. Of course, we have more Major League Baseball to discuss. We got fights in Philadelphia coming up this weekend and some golf going on in Memphis. There's a whole lot going on here in the sporting landscape.
Man, it was great. Good little day yesterday all across the landscape. We'll dive into a perfect preseason Thursday record that we had. Thank you, Steve Mackinnon, for that. A lot of important implications in the wild card races yesterday in baseball. And boy, Larry Muir is not here to defend himself, but his guy, Edwin Diaz, he got problems. He got problems back end of that bullpen in L.A. That's a game the Dodgers should have won. Brewers get a much-needed win. A lot to discuss here on a Friday, my friend.
We called him in New York when things went south. We didn't call him Sugar. We called him Splenda. He was Splenda last night for the Dodgers, that's for sure. Thomas Gable is going to join us, as he always does, each and every Friday from the Borgata Loop in a Carol in advance of UFC 330. That's why I'm wearing my Italian stallion for Philadelphia, as they're going to have that Rocky statue should be on display somewhere. And Daryl Ryder is going to join us in hour number 3-2, talking all things Cleveland Browns football. Woo! We got a great show lined up today, but let's talk about what we saw. And if you like unders, last night was the night for you. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
A perfect 6-for-6. Six games last night, the preseason week number one, six unders, and it looked like one of them. There's no way that Raider and Cardinal game is going to stay under. Oh, but it did. 24-17 there, Jensen. Before we get to the individual games themselves, how about that trend? We talked about it a lot in the program yesterday. All of the leans are to the unders, and they all come home.
Yeah, really cool. Again, as good an endorsement to become a VSiN Pro subscriber to get Bill AD's daily email. It was early this week, Dave, in which he was illustrating a couple of the trends from Steve Mackinnon. The one was those Hall of Fame game participants coming off of that game just a week prior. What would they do in week two? Those teams that had lost were a perfect 4-0 straight up in ATS in their following preseason game, but they were also perfect to the under. There's no way in hell you would have told me turning that game off in the second half with about, what, 12, 13 minutes left, that I would have gotten my under 41.5 in for Cardinals and Raiders. But thank you, Steve Mackinnon. Perfect 4-0 last night. The rarely seen highly effective tie in preseason games, Dave. We got that one with, you know, the Colts and the Patriots tie last night. The under also hits for Chargers Texans. Remember, that was a Steve Mackinnon trend where you had conference foes with at least a total of 37. That flies under by 4 points. Really outstanding stuff. But again, that's why you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Nice and easy, blind tail, plug and play. Perfect 4-0. Thank you, Steve Mackinnon.
Yeah, we saw some guys play. We talked about it, too, with the Bengals. I mentioned yesterday, I didn't want to lay those points here, even though Joe Burrow did play. You saw some quarterbacks that we'll get to that look pretty good. Others maybe a little bit more to be desired. We do have some news that Josh Allen will start for Buffalo tomorrow night when they play their first preseason game. Guys that will not be playing, guys like Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, Caleb Williams for the Bears. So keep an eye on that. We'll break down those games in further detail. Oh, my goodness. What in the world was Jaden Daniels? If he opened up social media yesterday, it was a can that was opened up there yesterday, because we got some just a bizarre day for the star young quarterback in Washington, D.C. Released a statement saying that now he's just focused on the Commanders amid the legal drama with LSU. There was reports. Did he want to have his Heisman Trophy back? Is this about name, image, and likeness? He felt disrespected that they were still wearing his number 5 at LSU. But there, I mean, Jensen, what in the world was this youngster going through yesterday? As he wants to focus on today, I think a lot of people are questioning where his head really is.
Dave, listen, I want to respect the athlete first and foremost, so I will refrain from using the number five today. I know how hallowed ground that number is. I understand that that is a big deal, and God help us if his mom finds out that we mentioned the number five on this show. I say that tongue in cheek. So I don't need to spend a lot of time on it as far as the NIL drama of it. What I do want to spend time on, and we can talk about this upcoming, where the hell is your focus right now, dude? Get yourself ready to play football. Like, that to me is the most important part. So get this crap for, you know, the Heisman Trophy, the LSU issues, put it behind you, go play football. You're a Washington Commander first and foremost right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that as the show goes, because, again, you can say things like, hey, I've moved on and my focus is here. You're the one that brought it to the limelight yesterday. It was you and your team that brought this out there for the world. This was not people digging in to find anything. This was all on your behest, Jaden Daniels. All right, let's get to some more injuries. We talk about it each and every day. We know that Chuba Hubbard right now is considered week-to-week for the Panthers running back. And how about Jordan Tyson? He did exit practice earlier. I know Saints fans, for their talented rookie, a little bit concerned there. So again, I mean, Jensen, you can't get to the regular season fast enough, but you want your guys to be healthy when you get there.
Well, this is a problem because this is the same hamstring that they had issues with Jordan Tyson, not only in college, but going into the draft, you know, checking the medicals. They were not looking forward, to potentially dealing with this again. Well, here we go. And remember, this is going to be a primary weapon when healthy for Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore in this Saints offense. So this is not the news they were hoping for. But, man, here we go again. More impactful players, Dave, day after day, coming down with these kinds of injuries. Groins, calves, hamstrings.
Oh, tricky.
The three big ones that – and it's not cookie cutter. It's not like, oh, yep, okay, we know how to do it. We'll deal with this. Every guy's recovery timetable is different. Everyone's body's different. So that's a tough blow for the Saints right here in this point in preseason.
Yeah, I always think, like, if you're any player, you know, you want to avoid knee injuries, and that's for sure. But hamstring injuries to running backs like Chuba, and certainly for a wide receiver like Jordan Tyson, they do give you pause, because you're right. There's not a straight path and a timeline that says X player will be back in Y. You just don't know. How about the Field of Dreams game yesterday? It was kind of weird where baseball decided to stick this one here with preseason football kind of taking center stage yesterday. But first batter of the game, Kyle Schwarber puts one in the corn, and he had it. Second home run there. We'll get to the Tigers with a historic shutout yesterday against the Guardians too. But what do you make of this, Jensen? I mean, I kind of like it. I just wish they had the entire month to kind of pick their own day to really showcase it. And I felt like it got lost in the muddle a little bit of the NFL.
So usually they try and line this up with the Little League World Series, Dave, you know, just to try and get that kind of nostalgia. And, you know, when you were little kids, that's the idea. And I totally understand the scheduling portion of it. You're telling me we couldn't have done it a week prior,
where, just a week,
you know,
just
we
a
don't
week.
Have to run. We don't have to run into, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game. You could have done it on a Wednesday. You could have had the time. I totally understand that part of it. A couple of other things, and you mentioned the Tigers. The Tigers with a strikeout-less shutout. No strikeouts by any Tiger pitcher. They
Amazing.
Won the game. They shut out the Guardians 3-0. First time that's happened since 2014. Dave, in our day and age of strikeouts, the fact that they could do that, it's not like they were just running out, you know, guys throwing 93 miles an hour. Cater Montero was out there, who's been really good. A couple of back-end bullpen arms that have been really solid. But, boy, what a statement win. That's a big series win for the Tigers over the Guardians.
You mentioned off the top with Edwin Diaz, he does continue to struggle here as they lose that game to the Brewers, a big head-to-head there, 5-4. I mean, I know it's a little bit early. You go get him out of New York in the offseason. That was your big deal to come close. It looked like closing was the problem last year. You did it by committee, and it worked to win the World Series. I just wonder, does Dave Roberts say, hey, if I got to do it again the way I did it last year, Jensen, so be it? Or do you think eventually they're just going to say, nope, we're going to keep rolling sugar out there, and hopefully he gets back on form?
So he's given up runs in 5 of his 7 games since coming back off the IL, Dave. 5 2/3, 12 hits allowed. 12. He's got a 12.71 ERA. This is yikes. This is not good. And hey, as a former closer, I want to give him as much runway as possible because let's face it, the Dodgers do not care about the regular season. They do care about getting all their weaponry right and healthy. And maybe this is just an outlier, Dave, of just trying to get back into to not only the mentality, the heart rate. It is different. But, man, that's a game you got to put away. That's a multi-run lead. You've got to find a way against a struggling Brewer offense. No reason why the Dodgers should have lost that game last night.
I'm very appreciative of Edwin Diaz as a Met fan and somebody sitting on the Brewers to have the number one seed at 5-1. So I appreciate the effort last night. We got five guys tied atop the St. Jude Classic here in the first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs in round one down there in Memphis. Some scores are shocking if you saw Robert McIntyre and Rory McIlroy, and others not so shocking that Scotty Scheffler, solid round, 200 par. And I said to you yesterday, Jensen, I was kind of hoping that maybe Scotty would have an indifferent round one, maybe drift to about 7-1. And then we could look at him. It almost played out perfectly. He's still the betting favorite here, but he's plus 610 today. Remember, he's about plus 495 in that Memphis heat. It does seem like it's taken its toll, Jensen, on some guys out there, at least yesterday.
Anybody you would look to live add right now? I know it's 70 guys, but from what you took away yesterday, all the conditions in the heat, anything that stuck out to you?
I do think the Texas guys, and I know that, you know, you look at a guy like Jordan Spieth that's back up there at the top of that leaderboard, and I mentioned it yesterday, I'd look to those type guys, and yeah, it's not just because they grew up playing in that type stuff, but they don't seem to be bothered by it. I don't know that I pick Spieth right now, even though he's tied for the lead. Scotty, nearing 7-1, 650, you can find that number out there. I think that's probably the way I'd go. I'm still hoping for the big sweet. He's tied with Scotty there at 200 par. Rough day for my guy Jackson Quaven. We'll get to all that in a little bit. More NFL preseason talk. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Thomas Gable is going to join us here later on this very hour from Atlantic City there in New Jersey. Always love catching up with TG there, see what they've got on the docket. And there is a big sporting event going on right close to where he is at UFC 330 in Philadelphia. So, again, that's why I'm rocking this Italian Stallion. And, again, very quickly, I was on with JVT yesterday on Money Moves. And they were going over the best baseball movies. I snuck in some jabs that he hasn't watched Rocky III, which is an absolutely a cinematic classic. Jensen, very quickly, before we get back to football, what is the best baseball movie in your mind? As our baseball expert here on the show, they put out the top 10 list yesterday out there. Pride of the Yankees, I do believe, was number one. And I think Bull Durham was number two. Where do you come in on that? Yeah.
Major League is number one. Let's get that out.
Of course.
I might be biased here, but I don't know if I can discern between, Bull Durham is, for so many different reasons. If you played the game, you get everything that they're talking about. If you didn't, you know, you understand the pomp and circumstance and the minor league side of it. Hey, A League of Their Own will always get me. You know, it's such a classic, and it really intertwined, you know, with the history of the game in a lot of different respects too, back during the war. But I do think that you've got a lot of different ways that you could go there. But for my money, and as I said, I'm extremely biased in this part of the country, Major League takes the cake, no question about it.
I'm with it. It's such a great movie. I do love Bad News Bears. I know Matt Humans and I align on that. I'm not sure that movie can be made today. We're a little bit more sensitive these days, Jensen, but that's what I kind of liked about it. We just criticized everybody back then. And Bad News Bears and Tanner is my favorite shortstop of all time. Let's get back to preseason football that we saw last night, the Cardinals and the Raiders. It felt like the feature game, if you will. We did kind of get that shock well after we were on the air, or off the air, rather, that Carson Beck would not be able to go. I know I got a little bit nervy about my Arizona tickets there and was on the under as well, and somehow they both get home 27-14. It does feel like, though, the story, even though the Cardinals win the game, it's still Kirk Cousins looked really good in drive number one, and I think Fernando Mendoza looked really good in his time out there as well.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, again, when you're looking my bad boys when you're looking at where this game is, we'll hear from Clint Kubiak here in just a moment, my apologies, you know, there's definitely a thought after that. He throws the first pass, Cousins gets tipped at the line, you're like, oh god, oh no, please don't, but no, and then he goes and leads them down and they get the touchdown, so you're like, okay, order is restored. I'll tell you, the guy that really stood out to me was Mike Washington Jr. And if Genty and him can kind of form, you know, that little dynamic duo, boy, that'd be a fun little, you know, backfield core there to help take the pressure off Kirk Cousins, no question.
Agreed. Let's hear from Clint Kubiak, because you're right, Jensen. I think he was very impressed. Like most of the people watching the game, I don't know you have any other takeaway from it. Here's the rookie head coach talking about his rookie quarterback.
You know, I thought he led a good scoring drive as far as getting in and out of the huddle and commanding the group and getting the play calls down. You know, I saw the same guy that we've seen in practice. I see, an ascending player. We just got to keep getting better.
Ascending player is such a great phrase, Jensen, right? Like, we don't want to give him his all of his flowers today. He's ascending in the right direction, but it's the right way to do it. And we are kidding around with Steve Cohen here, obviously a big Raider fan. And, you know, like, hey, this is the one. This is the Matrix. We're seeing it now that maybe he really is the guy. And I will say this, I don't know that we saw this coming, that he would have been the number one pick from where he started at Miami, then transfers to Indiana, they win a national championship. Mm-hmm. But he does kind of look the part, right?
I don't want to pass judgment. I'm going to be very much in Clint Kubiak's camp. Very Bill Belichick of him. You know, he's good. It's not great. A little Herb Brooks in there. Yeah, he's good. It's not great.
Yeah.
And we'll keep kind of moving him up, but we'll see. I just think offensively, Dave, this is more the handicap of what will Kirk Cousins be early on this season. And with the weapons that he's got, like, you heard so much about Tyler Lindebaum last night and for good reason, right? Yeah. Highest paid center and what that can do for you. We have talked a lot of the hog mollies throughout our previews of Daily Gridiron. And when you look at line of scrimmage play, look at the Lions, right? Lions have been the benchmark the last couple of years. Like, we want to run the football. We want to absolutely bludgeon you. If you can have a semblance of a run game, and remember, Ashton Genty ran behind a horrendous Raiders offensive line last year. It still almost had 1,000 yards. So if you even have a league average offensive line, I think that's even better in knowing that the signals and the decision-making of a Kirk Cousins, the veteran there, not taking anything away from Geno Smith, but we are in a whole different solar system as far as offensive execution. Now that's different. And you give Kirk Cousins a little extra time, Raiders could be a bit more of a thorn in the side of some teams, I think, earlier than expected.
Plus 550 right now for Fernando Mendoza to be rookie of the year. We'll see about that and how much playing time he does get. Again, Kirk Cousins did look the part. You mentioned the tip pass. That was the only incompletion, 5 of 6 yesterday, 50 yards passing and the one touchdown. Mendoza, 10 of 16, 97 yards and a passing touchdown as well. I was flipping around and I really was. I was impressed by Drew Aller and watching the Steeler game against the Packers. Actually, I thought that Will Howard looked good. Mason Rudolph obviously got the start there. And again, you kind of do that math. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers did not play. You know, you can't keep them all here if you're Pittsburgh. I know you try to slide some guys by sometimes on the practice squad. You got to be careful with that because other teams can grab them. But Jensen, for a third round pick out of Penn State, I'm not saying it's a steal because we'll find out what he actually becomes. But coming off the injury at Penn State, it almost felt like when you got him in the third round, this was a guy that was projected to be a first rounder until those injuries came last year at Happy Valley.
How dare you go past my Buckeye, Will Howard, 7-9, 86 yards. Excuse me. Hey, this is, remember we heard a lot about the rewiring, the reinstall of mechanics and things. Like they tore Drew Aller apart and put him back together.
Right.
And hey, for a preseason NFL week one, your first NFL action, not bad against the backups of the backups here. So you appreciate what you get on tape. And it's, this is always the best week of cliches from coaches. Yeah, we're going to look at the tape. You know, we're going to get after it and look at the tape and see what the tape tells us. And, you know, tape. I mean, it's all about the practices too, right? When you get those joint practices, I think you take a lot out of that. But hey, statistically, you want efficiency, you want completions, you want ability to move the ball down the field. Not much more you can ask of Will Howard and Drew Aller in their first time out.
You know, it seems like a really good problem to have with two veterans in Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph, and then two really young guys, but seem like they're talented guys, as you mentioned, with Will Howard and Drew Aller. I'll be very curious to see what they do because it's, you know, you got a lot of them there, and people are going to be looking to see what the Steelers do if they can pluck one of those guys away. Cam Ward, kind of indifferent in a win out there against San Francisco yesterday. We know that the Niners are still just trying to get healthy here, Jensen. 19-13 is the final here, but 5 of 12, 57 yards for Cam. Brian Daboll, calm plays here in the offense. You know, I was really looking at the Tennessee insiders that are paying more attention to this than I. I think they kind of look at it as a B minus, if you will, for the reboot here for Cam Ward in year two.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to take too much out of it. What I would tell you is, remember, my focus yesterday, as I alluded, was looking at Carnell Tate. And DeJuan Stribling, what did I tell you, offensive rookie of the year, DeJuan Stribling. All right, I don't want to get too excited. All right, I'm not going to get too high, not too low. You know, you are up against second and third, you know, stringers here. But 7 catches for 63 yards, that 32-yard catch he had. 8 targets, too, so brought in 7 of the 8 targets. Carnell Tate, no catches on 3 targets. But again, you just kind of make these data points, put these pins in some of these performances, and especially the young players. I'm not worried about Cam Ward. New offense, new install, first time out there, you know, with Brian Daboll, not worried about it. I think more of those practice reps, everything will be fine. But boy, the offensive weaponry, if DeJuan Stribling, as I told you, I mean, if you have the walking wounded, well, you might want to get a ticket on that quite quickly because he could be that featured target with all the injuries they've had to that wide receiver room.
A couple of the quarterbacks I just want to make mention of here. Joe Burrow obviously did get in there and was 5 of 6 for 39 yards passing, kind of indifferent in their victory over the Lions yesterday, 16-14. And he did get sacked and he got hit a couple times too, Jensen, even on balls that he got released. Like, I know a lot of people like the Bengals and I'm one of those. I don't have any tickets on them yet per se, but that offensive line, that still feels like it might be problematic.
Yeah, well, hey, again, this is going to be a common refrain for this week and next week. Don't want to take too much out of it, but I will take out of it like, I saw him take the one hit after the throw. I'm like, no.
Right?
No.
Don't want that.
Now, again, this is someone who picked the Ravens to win the division, to win the AFC. If Joe Burrow is not in my way here in the AFC North, no big deal. But yeah, you're right. And by the way, our first backdoor, bad beat, depending on where you were, how about the Lions going down, punching it in? Rest in peace.
Meaningless.
The Bengals, 6.5, even a 3.5. If you got the 3.5 before the line move, too. Oh, we are so back. We are back. Let's go.
Bad beat football and fake football week number one. It all counts the same.
No fake
more.
Football.
We're going to talk about
no
what we saw.
No fake football. No.
Real injury, sadly, even if it is fake football. We're going to hear from Dave Roberts. Does he have a real problem in the back end of the bullpen? That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Kyle College football season is almost here. It's right around the corner. Betting it blind is not a good strategy at all. We are here to help. With the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, you're going to get that free when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. It's got previews of every single team, all 138, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and the best bets from some of the sharpest minds right here in the network. That's not all. VSiN Pro is also going to give you NFL's betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can try it today for as little as $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Going to catch up with TG Thomas Gable in the very next segment, going up there to the Borgata in Atlantic City, see where the numbers and where the money's coming in this weekend. But we do want to get back to, dare I say, the story of the day yesterday, at least on social media. And it was a little bit bizarre because it came out of left field. And we know that for the Cliff Notes version of it, DJ Pickett is going to be wearing number 5 down there in Baton Rouge for Lane Kiffin and LSU. Well, great. What's the problem? Well, there was a problem because apparently Jaden Daniels' team issued a statement, Jensen, and they released it to, I don't know if you've ever heard of this network, ESPN, they then put it on blast, the statement that said, we feel, Jaden Daniels, disrespected that you're going to allow somebody else to wear number 5 down there in Baton Rouge. I mean, you don't do this for Joe Burrow, so why are you going to do it now? And you're not going to retire my jersey. You guys should retire my jersey. And oh, by the way, I want the Heisman back. What? Now, then he released a subsequent statement later in the day. It's a kind of try to walk this back a little bit, Jensen, and for paraphrasing, basically saying, no, you know, I'm just focused on the Commanders now. And now all this is really just about name, image, and likeness and that sort of thing. So the story is the goalposts are moving here. And I know that Jaden Daniels wants to move those goalposts because when it initially came out, everybody was like, what in the world is this all about? Apparently, he talked to Lane Kiffin. About Lane Kiffin, the new head coach at LSU, about this as well, Jensen. As a player, can we see where he's coming from? Or is this just a guy now that's going into his third year as a pro that's still more concerned about the image back in college?
Yeah, this is stupid. I don't want to spend too much time on it from the player side because he really doesn't have an argument here. He was paid and compensated for his name, image, and likeness. There was nothing in there that said legally that number 5 was going to be retired and never used again. If there were, then you should have approached it then after you won the Heisman and said to LSU, hey, I'd like it retired. Usually the university comes to you and says, hey, you meant so much to us and you did so great. We're going to retire your number. Oh, wait, like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow went out and put out together one of the greatest seasons in college football history, won a national championship, smoked a cigar and said, peace, I'm going to the NFL. Thanks for everything. No big deal. I mean, what the hell are we doing here? This is so incredibly stupid. I don't know if it's his mom who is just overbearing and is his representation. I don't know if he's getting pressured into it. The statement from an attorney, you know, representing him is kind of hysterical. The Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player. If I'm DJ Pickett, I'm coming to the podium and I'm saying, nobody told me. And I just asked. It's a new coach. Take it up with Brian Kelly. Take it up with the whole other administration. This is so incredibly stupid.
It's shocking to be honest with you, because it shows, look, I was going to be fading the Commanders anyway, and he's coming off injury. And now, again, I always talk about this for people that haven't been in locker rooms like this. It's not a problem until it's a problem. And there are going to be guys now, especially veterans, they're going to look at him a little bit differently. And they're going to go, kid, grow up. It's time to grow up, man. This is the big boy league now. Okay. Why are you talking about college? No, nobody here cares about what you did 3 years ago in Baton Rouge. Nobody. They do not. And so they're going to look at you very, very differently today. And this is an unforced error by Jaden Daniels. And it was ironic to see Robert Griffin III go on there on social media to kind of try to, it was actually, I thought, a good post from Robert. Try to give him advice from a guy who made mistakes in the same city in almost the same timeline back there. And I was there. I was covering Robert in those locker rooms in D.C. And he ostracized himself from the team. It can happen, Jensen. And that had nothing to do with the jersey, but but he's talking about Heisman trophies, and Robert knows that from Baylor, and certainly Jaden knows this from LSU. So it really did come from, I thought, a position, ironically, from Robert of kind of being the guy that's been there, done that, and you're not going to win this way, Jaden Daniels. This is not what it's about in Washington, D.C. It should be about the current team. Stop looking in the rearview mirror, and you should be, if they, that's what they choose to do, so be it. Michael Irvin had the best point about this. Why would you want your jersey retired? Every time CeeDee Lamb makes a play at 88, they talk about me. That's the way you should look at it. It's an honor if somebody else is still wearing your number. So you can look at it so many different ways, but to put out an official statement like that and demand that from the university, bizarre way to start. And again, it will be an issue for the media and certainly for the team. They'll tell you it's not, Jensen. Oh, but it will be. Do we have issues in L.A. when it comes to the closer in Sugar Diaz? Now, look, I'm a big Edwin Diaz guy. As a former, you know, as a New York Metropolitan fan, of course, he was a guy there that cut his teeth with the Mets. And really, that's where we all look at him as his stardom was on the rise. Now, let's hear from Dave Roberts first when asked about this, because it was another blown save for Edwin Diaz yesterday. And it was not pretty. And it was an important one against the Brewers if you're going for that head-to-head for that mano-a-mano number one seed potentially. 5-4, the Brewers get the win. And Diaz has not been good. So, Dave Roberts, would you consider changing and making a change in the closer's role?
Give me another option. I mean, I think that I can't just say change in low leverage. I have to have other options. And, you know, to be quite honest, none of those guys really are throwing the baseball great. That's just kind of the way it is. You know, it's just not that easy when a guy's done it for, you know, 7-8 years, whatever it is, and to change routines. And, you know, so part of my job is to give him the best opportunity to prepare and have success. And then it goes to the player to kind of go out there and do their job.
Oh, that was as calmly as he said that, give me another option. Like Jensen, as a former closer, what do you make of that? It is kind of that two-sided coin, right? Of like, hey, man, what else you got for me? And the back of the bubblegum card says this. What'd you make of that response from Dave?
All right, let me start with the objective part of where the decision is. First and foremost, you signed him this offseason to be the closer. Okay, that is what you're paying him to do. End of April, he has the loose bodies. It's taken him a while to get back. Go back through the numbers here, and I was telling you and Joe Friso in commercial, I don't know what discussions were had through the end of his rehab. Did you want to get him in for low leverage, first couple opportunities back in a big league game just to get the juices and the heartbeat back under control? They sent him right back out. His first outing was a save opportunity. He ends up also, you know, getting a couple of other opportunities after that. His last four chances, Dave, it's been a blown save loss, blown save win, a save, blown save loss. And his total time in seven games back off the IL, it's a 1271 ERA. He's given up 12 hits and 5 2/3. His batting average on balls in play is 526. Holy hell, that is astronomically bad. Now, if I'm Tanner Scott, who had the lion's share of closing opportunities while Edwin Diaz is rehabbing, I am pissed beyond belief. Because for you to go out and say, oh, you know, give me another option. You know, I don't know if anyone else has thrown the baseball well enough, if you will. Tanner Scott's been pretty damn good the last couple of weeks, if not one of the best relievers in baseball all season. You got problems in the City of Angels. And Not that we're worried about a clubhouse rift here, because Tanner Scott's professional. I'm guaranteeing you that you keep the bigger picture in mind. If you signed Edwin Diaz to be the closer, I got the opportunity as the next man up. If the closer is not available, it's me. But man, I would want to have a conversation with Dave Roberts. Give me another option. I was your option. I was the guy.
Ooh, hello,
man. Ooh. That grinds my gears a little bit. Yeah, I'd be a little upset. But back to macro. The Dodgers do have enough runway here, Dave, to allow Diaz to work it out. but he better get it right, and he better stay out of the big part of the plate, because it's not the command as far as walks. It's leaving the ball over the big part of the plate and getting crushed these first seven games, and particularly the last four. So he's going to have every opportunity to work out of it, because that's why he got paid to come there. Man, I would have chosen my words differently if I was Dave Roberts there.
Yeah, it was interesting, and you're right. It's not the walks, which has normally been the bugaboo in the past for Sugar Diaz. Last night, with a 4-2 lead in the ninth, two-thirds of an inning, four hits, three runs, all earned. Did have two Ks. That's 24 pitches. That ERA is getting closer to 12 right now for Edwin Diaz. That is not good, and you're right. Tanner Scott's like, hello, I'm right here, Skip. I'm sitting right here. When we come back, we're going to go to Atlantic City. It's Thomas Gable. Always love catching up with our guy at the Borgata. See what is on the docket. And if he's take some tickets for UFC 330 right there in Philadelphia. That's all next right here. Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
We continue Beeson by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Always love catching up with our guy, Thomas Gable. Does a great job running the Borgata, the race and sports book there in New Jersey, in Atlantic City. Give him a follow on X at T Gable Sports, and is kind enough to join us here in the Progressive Guest Line. I guess now, TG, that you're back out of Sin City, back home, much cooler back in the East Coast, correct?
Much cooler, much better climate to be in for me during the summertime, at least. In the 80s, and I'm loving that. I'm loving it. I'm out of the 112 degree weather, so we can head to the beach anytime. It's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it is. And we hit the lake up here when we can, TG, in Northeast Ohio. But as you know, swimming in the deep end of the Cleveland Browns quarterback's situation, I won't even bore you the details on that. Let's start with what we saw last night. All six games go under the total. Remarkable here to see that first real swath of games. Anything significant for you guys at the Borgata as far as action on those six games?
You know, the right was decent overall, I think. You know, we talked a little bit last week about the Hall of Fame game and how it seems like the handle for the Hall of Fame game never really lives up to what you write on the first full week of preseason. And that was the case. You know, this was more along the lines of what we have traditionally seen in terms of handle for preseason games last night with six on the slate. And nice start to the preseason overall. I mean, obviously you've seen huge line moves there, as you typically do. Books are going to be much more aggressive in terms of moving the number off of news, off of bets that are coming in. And, you know, I mean, anywhere from 3.5 up to even 7 points, some of these games moved. I mean, the Niners-Titans game, Niners opened 1 and closed Titans lane 6. So, you always see these big swings. Obviously, if you're betting the preseason, the key is to get in front of some of these line moves. If you can get the information first before the books do, whether that's through, you know, following the beat reporters closely, watching the coaches' press conferences and interviews, picking up nuggets here and there where you may think, okay, this is going to be the strategy here, and clicking on that number there before the books move, that's how people beat this. And believe me, there are guys out there who do very well in the NFL preseason. This isn't a market where, you know, people kind of look at it and be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's only preseason, what's the point of betting it? There are certainly people who can beat this consistently, because they can get ahead of these big line moves, and you can really set yourself up for some to have some nice cushions there. You know, again, Lions and Bengals didn't work out for the Bengals backers so much there, because once the Burrow news hit, I mean, you saw that go up even as high as 7 from 3.5 opener. Yep. But obviously the Bengals held on and only won by 2 there. So didn't really work in your favor there, but I think just looking at the line moves last night, I think you're probably 3-3 if you got ahead of all these. But in the long run through the preseason, you're probably going to come out ahead.
Yeah, it seems like it, TG, that you can really get some advantages here, and we know how tight the numbers are once we get to the regular season. It feels like everybody has got an opinion on that. When you see the games in your area starting today with the Jets, they're 5.5-point favorites over the Buccaneers. The Giants here are 2.5-point dogs against Minnesota. Then you got to wait, obviously, till tomorrow for Philadelphia with their battle with the Ravens. They are 3.5-point favorites. Are people going to the window to bet their favorite locals, or is it really spread out across the league?
Yeah, it's not so much. Again, you don't get a ton of casual money bet into these games. I mean, you'll probably take some Eagles and Giants money there tomorrow. But the Jets money here, again, was sharp money early. You know, when we opened this game, Buccaneers were opened as 1.5-point favorites. We took sharp money right away with some limit bets on the Jets, and now you see the Jets are we're currently sitting 6 on the Jets there for tonight. So, again, the big move there in that game. And the people who got those early numbers, they're sitting pretty right now. But, of course, now Geno Smith and company are going to have to perform. But we know, you know, Mayfield's not playing. And again, all this, it comes down to who's going to be starting and how many reps are the starters and even this second string guy is going to be taking. So we'll see how that game plays out tonight. But again, the early stuff for tomorrow, you know, the Giants game, again, that one actually hasn't really moved. That's still sitting Minnesota 2.5. Maybe you'll start to see some threes there, Minnesota possibly. But and then the Eagles playing the Ravens, Eagles currently laying 3.5. Again, a little bit of movement there between 2.5, 3.5. On Philadelphia.
All right, TG, I wanted to bring the NFC West into focus here with you. And we did get a little bit of an update on Puka Nacua. What an offseason it's been for him, the Rams star receiver. It feels like it gets worse the more that we hear, the more that we watch, and the more that we listen on multiple fronts. But let's keep it to what we see on the field. Size up the West. I think we agree that we've got at least 3 teams in there that are going to be highly competitive, all depending if that substation has its way against the Niners. All of us may have to go strap in in Santa Clara and put the pads on. But where do you stand on the West, the defending champs, the Seahawks, the Rams, the shortest odds to win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I mean, you hit on it there. The most hyped team coming into the season, it's not the Super Bowl defending champion Seattle Seahawks. Little unusual to have the defending champs here almost considered an afterthought in their own division, but everyone is high on the Rams, and with good reason. This team's come tantalizingly close, and a lot of people think now with the addition of Myles Garrett and maybe another guy possibly coming out of retirement, this will be what's needed to get Sean McVay and then company there to the promised land. Rams are odds on now to win this division at -105, Seattle sitting +210. And those odds have certainly moved. And you now see some separation there between the two teams in terms of the odds. Rams at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl, Seattle 11-1 currently. Now I would never advise anyone to bet a team at 5-1 to win the Super Bowl before we even see a snap of preseason football out of them. A lot can happen in this game, as you know, especially with an aging quarterback like the Rams have in Matthew Stafford. But Stafford is the reigning MVP of the league, and his arm has shown no signs of aging. They just need to protect him. And they do have a pretty difficult regular season schedule to manage, but the regular season win total, it's the highest on the board at 11.5. We've taken some larger wagers on them to win the NFC, so we do have some liability there. But when you look at Seattle, they lost their offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak. Their running back, Kenneth Walker, who was the Super Bowl MVP. But they have one of the most talented receivers in the league still there in JSN. Sam Darnold quieted the critics in probably the only way possible for him, and that was by winning a championship. I still have concerns about the amount of turnovers that are always possible with Darnold. And having a new OC may not help matters, but one of the main reasons Seattle won last year was their defense. And this defense is still elite. You know, a lot of focus has been on the Rams with Myles Garrett and possibly Aaron Donald. But Seattle's defense is still right there as some of the best in the NFL. So, you know, San Francisco, if you asked about them weeks ago before training camp started, you'd probably get a different answer. But this team is aging and already dealing with injuries. I'm definitely concerned at wide receiver there. Debo's not the same Debo that we saw in San Francisco before. Mike Evans has looked slow out of the gate in camp. And just there's not much backing for the Niners right now in the futures. And, of course, that leaves Arizona, who now have two preseason games under their belts. But listen, when you have a team at 100-1 to win the division before the season starts, you're just hoping to write anything you can on them. And it's probably going to be a long year in Arizona. Win total, you've already said 4.5 and moved down to 3.5. If you're still seeing 4.5 out there, it's heavily juiced to the under. And when you look at their schedule, I'm not sure where 5 wins are coming from to get you to that over. And under 3.5 may also be a decent bet for Arizona. It's I think it's going to be a tough year there out in the desert for them.
TG, now that you're back home, are you going to take the short jaunt up 95 here and get up there to Philadelphia for UFC 330 this weekend?
You know what? I'm going to be working tomorrow night, but we will be sending some of our bigger table games customers up there for the fight. So I know there's going to be some Borgata representation in the audience there.
Oh, man. Maybe me and Jensen have to go spend some money at the Borgata so we can go next time. Thomas, you're the best. We appreciate you, man. Go check him out at the Borgata this week and give him a follow at T. Gable Sports. We're back talking more preseason NFL week number 1. I got a lot more games to talk about tonight. That's next. VSiN by the Book.